This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron, taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They've trialed advanced detection technologies and are committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. More at chevron.com/methane.
Hi, this is Bert Ashbrook in Clarion County, Pennsylvania, inside what we think is the longest cave in the Commonwealth. This show was recorded at...
Right, Pennsylvania etiquette calling a Commonwealth, not a state. It is 12:37 Eastern on Wednesday, April 7th.
Things may have changed by the time you hear it, but we'll still be in this cave surveying, hoping to get our fifth mile of passage.
Oh my God.
5 miles. I mean, he didn't say which cave it is.
It's a big cave. Even if he tells me where it is, I'm not going in it. So
you're the resident Pennsylvania expert. No idea.
I don't like caves.
You're not a spelunker, are you, Scott Detrow?
No, I'm not a spelunker. I do cover the White House, though. Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Scott Detrow,
and I'm Domenico Montanaro, senior political editor and correspondent.
And we're gonna put aside spelunking. Fun word for now, and talk about some broader things today with two member station reporters, Ashley Lopez of KUT in Austin and Emil Moffitt of WABE in Georgia. Hey there.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, good to be with you.
As you can guess from the places we're talking to people from, this is a podcast about voting rights measures and the boycotts and counter boycotts and broader cultural argument that they have kicked off. We talked last week about new restrictive voting measures that passed in Georgia that are under consideration as well in Texas. This storyline has now ballooned into something else. It's a story about corporations weighing in on politics and a lot of Republicans getting very angry that they are doing so. Domenico, I'm really dwelling on the fact that you have a situation where Republicans are blasting Coca-Cola and baseball, which is like a real cultural plot twist, but we will talk about that in a moment.
Sure.
Emil, let's start with the center of things, though. Remind us what is in, and just as importantly, what is not in this new Georgia law.
Yeah, it puts a lot of new restrictions on vote by mail. It adds an ID requirement to vote absentee. It also greatly reduces the number of those absentee ballot drop boxes in large metro counties, which is, we saw were very important in the 2020 elections. This bill also removes power from the Secretary of State and gives the Republican-controlled legislature more power over the very powerful state election board. They could actually go in and take over local elections departments. And this bill also changes the way provisional ballots are handled, and it is now the subject of 4 lawsuits. And one important thing to note about this bill, you mentioned what's not in it, what's not in the new law, and that is it keeps in place no excuse absentee voting. It also keeps in place weekend voting, which during early voting period, which were two things that were originally taken out of this law.
Yeah. And Ashley, no new law has been signed yet in Texas, but similar changes are being debated by lawmakers. What are the broad characteristics of the bill at question in Texas?
Well, similar in that these bills are aimed at addressing voter fraud, which there's no evidence that there's any widespread problem with, you know, voter fraud in Texas. And the bills that are being considered do things like not allow local election officials to just send people applications without them asking for them first, which, you know, only a couple of major counties have ever done that. So in terms of effect, this isn't very sweeping. But the bills do things like expand what poll watchers can observe. And then they also create like new rules for people who assist voters with disabilities. And more importantly, they create a slew of new criminal penalties for related to voting. So that's something that voting rights advocates are watching closely. But, you know, it is a little different in that Texas is starting from a place of just having way stricter voting laws already.
Right. And one point that Georgia Republicans have made is even though these changes were put in place, Georgia still has a lot more early voting than a lot of states. But Domenico, this really got charged up to the next level when Major League Baseball decided to move the All-Star game out of Atlanta, which was shocking on a few reasons to me, mostly because Major League Baseball is a sport that tries very hard to not step in the middle of political controversies.
Yeah, it tries to be America's pastime, right? And tries not to do a lot of that. But, you know, Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game as a political statement to Colorado. And Colorado is a place with much more flexible voting laws in place. It has one of the highest participation rates in the country because of an almost all vote by mail, lots of drop-off locations, and just far more accessible, even though Republicans have tried to muddy the water and say that it's very similar to Georgia's laws, which is not exactly true.
Emil, how has this been playing out in Georgia? Because you've got baseball, you've got companies like Delta and Coke weighing in, and on one hand being criticized for waiting until after the bill is signed into law, and on the other hand being criticized for saying something at all. Like how is this affecting the actual politics in the state?
Well, you mentioned that they didn't make their strongest statements until after the bill had been signed into law. And then you saw Major League Baseball pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta, and that drew immediate condemnation from top Republicans like Governor Brian Kemp. Kemp accused Major League Baseball of caving into the fears of people like President Biden and Stacey Abrams, powerful Democrat here in Georgia, and not actually reading the law. People would disagree with that and say that there are plenty of things that are wrong with this bill. But Brian Kemp continued to defend this law and said that companies cannot give in to this, what he called cancel culture. And so there's been a lot of pushback to the pushback. Pressure has been put on these companies from the other side, too, to speak out more in support of federal regulations that would protect voting rights across the country.
So, Ashley, similar measure under consideration in Texas. What have Texas-based companies, and there's a lot of high-profile companies based in Texas, what have they been doing and saying?
Well, two big corporations here in Texas, American Airlines and Dell Technologies, took a position soon after corporations started talking about Georgia's bill. Very sort of broad comments on, the importance of voting and their basic concerns about bills going before the Texas legislature, specifically House Bill 6, making it harder for people to vote. And, it was, a short little, I think Michael Dell just put up like a short little tweet just raising concerns about these bills. But, it was enough for state officials here in Texas to start getting upset about.
Domenico, what do you make of this whole even more hypercharged conversation? I mean, where you have Republicans yelling at corporations saying, don't get involved in politics, boycotts and counter boycotts. Like what jumps out to you? And do you think this is all sustainable?
Well, this is an interesting moment, especially for the Republican Party, because there's been such an emphasis in the Trump era, which I think we're still in, because so many Trump supporters are really the base of the Republican Party now, that we're seeing this tension between cultural conservatism and the more traditional, pro-business, pro-corporation conservatism. And, there used to be a time when big corporations and the Republican Party were sort of synonymous, but these corporations are seeing that, they also have their customers to look at. And if they're going to be boycotted because of culturally conservative state laws, then they're being responsive to what they see as the market. And that's really roiling not just their bottom lines, but the bottom line of politics in this country.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
On NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast, we talk about movies, music, and more, like why The Great Pottery Throwdown is a comforting binge watch, and a look back at some of Chadwick Boseman's essential performances. All of that in around 20 minutes every weekday. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
And we're back. And Emil and Ashley, I want to ask both of you what groups you have seen being the most active in specifically calling for this pressure in organizing these boycotts and these pressure campaigns on companies. Emil, let's start with you in Georgia.
Really, the person who's been leading the effort has been Bishop Reginald Jackson, who's with the AME Church here in Georgia. He has called for companies like Coca-Cola and Delta and the Home Depot, some of the prominent Georgia-based companies, to take a stronger stand against restrictions on voting, not only at the state level, but also at the federal level as well. It's interesting to note that after the bill was passed, you had Coca-Cola saying it was disappointed in the bill. You had Delta Airlines saying it was unacceptable. And there's been discussions about having a boycott against these companies, saying that they didn't take action soon enough and that they needed to do more.
And Ashley, what about in Texas?
So not surprisingly, voting rights groups here, specifically groups who represent communities of color in Texas, have been asking corporations to make statements and commit to withholding contributions from politicians who support what they see as voter suppression. But, you know, interestingly, this week there was a group based in Georgia, Black Voters Matter, who held a press conference with a bunch of groups here to announce that this was an initiative, that they were going to start asking corporations to do this. They're based in Atlanta, I believe, and they said, you know, they're kind of widening the scope of the work they do, and so Texas kind of neatly fit into the work they do.
And Ashley, you mentioned Black Voters Matter expanding into Texas, and that's kind of the model that Stacey Abrams used with her group, Fair Fight. She has expanded, and from the 2020 election, expanded her group outreach into several different states. And we can kind of see that that going from Georgia to these other states where voting rights are at stake.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm not surprised to see groups looking at regions like the Sun Belt, where there's a large you know, racial minority population and, you know, slightly changing politics, or in Georgia's case, like rapidly changing politics, and seeing that as a space to do work like this, because, you know, you get your bang for your buck here, because there's just so many restrictive voting laws, but also just so many potential voters and potential, you know, political change.
I think that's a great point, because the demographic growth in the Sun Belt has been a real threat to Republican politics, and they've said so and made that case, in fact, even in court.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw that affect the presidential map this year, and if these trends continue, it will definitely rewrite the presidential map in the next few cycles. Domenico, you have spent some time looking at the history of corporate boycotts. Broadly speaking, do they work? Do they get laws revoked? Do they change the politics of states?
Well, there have been many that have actually worked through the years. You know, you don't have to look too far back for some of the most recent ones. You know, really a lot of this during the Trump era. But in 2016, 2017, we saw three of these against the NFL, the Professional Football League, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and most importantly, in North Carolina, when they passed limitations on LGBTQ rights that included restrictions on what bathrooms people could use. And that really backfired on the state of North Carolina, because you had the NCAA, multiple states that didn't allow their employees and officials to travel to those states to do business. The NCAA withheld, the National Collegiate Athletic Association withheld playing games in their state, where you have, obviously, basketball is pretty big with some pretty powerful schools there. And that did shift and change the conversation, not only the conversation, but the law. That bill was repealed in 2017 after having been passed. So using that model, and frankly, some other models through history, this is what a lot of people who look at these boycotts and realize that money talks, that they're looking at.
All right. Thanks so much, Ashley Lopez of KUT and Emil Moffitt of WABE. We appreciate your reporting and following these twists and turns as they play out. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
All right. We will be back in your feeds tomorrow. I'm Scott Detrow. I cover the White House.
And I'm Domenico Montanaro, senior political editor and correspondent.
Thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Washington Wise. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington. Listen at schwab.com/Washington Wise.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There is some truth in that.
There's some truth in that.
Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.